And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Ahoy, listeners and fans. This is RBLR Sports with the RBLR Bucks crew. I'm Usav, and I couldn't be more thrilled. Football is back. I'm absolutely buzzing with excitement. The start of football season means those fantasy leagues are in full swing, and it's officially my favorite time of the year. Well, folks, our ship has set sail, and the journey kicked off with an exhilarating Week 1 victory against the Washington Commanders. Ladies and gentlemen, we are undefeated right now. That's a pretty sweet feeling, right? I know it's only 1 week, but hey, I'm all aboard the optimism train. And yes, the waters might get rough ahead. For now, all I'm thinking about is Tampa Bay football is back. And to our haters, watch us keep winning. Folks, don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoy what you hear. But also, we want to hear from you. Drop a comment with your thoughts on week one or your predictions for week two against the Lions. Or I'll tell you this, if you just want to shout, fire the cannons, we'd love to hear that as well. All right. And it might be too early to say this, but I'm feeling like that NFC South title is already calling our name again, and I think we're going to keep this momentum rolling all throughout the season. And I am thrilled to announce my two winners for tonight, who are also my fantastic co-captains on this fired-up ship. Listeners, they're back, ready to bring it. First up, we have Mr. Zach Blaine. Zach, what's up, man?
Man, you know, I'm excited to get on here and talk an actual, real, regular season game. I feel like it's been way too long, brother, and I'm no group of people I'd rather do it with than our RBLR fans and you guys.
Well, I'm honored. I really am. And the final puzzle piece to this trio, taking over the ship's helm to my left, he is Captain Carter. What's going on, Carter? I think you might be on mute.
Shoot, my apologies, fellas. Sorry.
Dreaded mute monster, man. It's every now and then.
It's been a while since I've done that, so you know, yep. I had to mix it in. You know, I had to give the folks what they want.
It's the week one jitters.
Right. So week one jitters, that's right. It's week one for everybody. But I was just saying, I love the polo, Musab. I love the go Bulls.
There you go. Oh, wrong way. There you go.
That's all right. No, it's all good.
I'm not good with my directions.
Yeah, no, go Bulls. They lost to Alabama, but you know, hopefully they'll bounce back against
it was a good fight.
Yeah, it was definitely a good fight. But speaking of good fights, man, good gracious, the Bucks. Wow. Heck of a win, 37-20 over the Washington Commanders. Looked pretty in control the whole game. There weren't really too many, stutters or stops or anything like that. Of course, there are still a few things to nitpick here and there. There are always going to be things to improve upon. But, man, it was really encouraging, really fun, obviously, to have week one of the NFL. But more specifically for the Bucks, it was really a blast to watch Baker Mayfield, this offense, just pick this Commanders defense to pieces. I mean, they were really met with very little resistance. I don't remember the exact number of punts, but it sure didn't seem like more than two. They did not have very many drives that stalled out.
I think we only had one punt.
Yeah, no, I only remembered one, but I was like, maybe at the end of the game, maybe they sprinkled in another one. But regardless of the number, it wasn't very high. And they didn't commit any turnovers. It was a clean game. Not a whole lot of penalties or anything. They didn't have any illegal men in the backfield like the Ravens in that first game or anything. Hey, what's up, Christopher? How you doing, man? Hope you're doing well.
Welcome. This is first live. Welcome, brother.
Live. My goodness. That's great. Go Bucks. But yeah, we'll be talking about this victory. And then the second half of the show, we'll be focusing on the Detroit game. That should be a lot of fun. So definitely stick around with us. But to kick things off, I just want to talk about what most impressed you in this victory, because there were a lot of good things, a lot of things to harp on. We'll certainly get to those. But what impressed you most, Mr. Blaine? I'll start with you, my man. What really got you going about this week one victory for the Bucks?
It felt so good to not expect a run on first, second, and third down every drive. Honestly, the most impressive thing to me was just the play calling and the sequencing of Liam Cohen. Like, everything went so smooth. And, like, I know it was the Commanders, and their defense is not a good defense, but I don't think – you put Dave Canales in this situation, I don't think our offense looks as potent as it did Sunday with him at the helm, as opposed to how it looks with Cohen at the helm. So that's my biggest takeaway is just his offense looks worlds better.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's against the Commanders, so maybe temper a little bit of expectations there. But they're still getting paid to do their job, too. You know, it's not college where they go out and play a Division II or a Division III team. This is still an NFL defense. So any good production is impressive, you know, or even if it's not necessarily one of the best teams. They don't all have to be, you know, the 49ers or the Browns defensively. They're still going to be an NFL team. So, yeah, I'm with you on the play calling. I really enjoyed a lot of the motion concepts that they were running. I got my dream wish was to see Rashad White and Bucky Irving on the field and some two running back concepts. They had that for at least one play. The best play of the game for me, it was just chef's kiss. It was a play action screen to Rashad White. It got called back initially because of that illegal man down the field nonsense. But my goodness, thank the good gracious of the NFL for calling it back, because that was such an exciting play. Rashad White screens are always great. I'm looking forward to seeing that throughout the year. But yeah, the play calling was wonderful. He had a lot of motion concepts with Jalen McMillan that were great too. But Mr. Treek, how about you, my friend? What impressed you most in this one?
Oh man, I'll tell you this a lot. I'll tell you, but I'm just gonna piggyback off of what Zach said. How efficient our offense and how much better our offense looked. I mean, the run game was amazing. Bucky Irving and Rashad White working together. And I shout out to Greg Allman. Actually, he had tweeted this. Bucky had racked up 62 yards, which is actually more than like 15 of the other rookies, I believe. I think he had said like combined or something. So Bucky balled out, Rashad White balled out. But I'll tell you this also, what kind of stood out to me, because I was actually a little bit interested on the stats, and shout out to Pro Football Focus. The Buccaneers were very efficient on the third downs. That's all that really stood out. You look at the stats, it's pretty similar. Same kind of possession, same kind of amount of time, same number of plays or whatever. But 85% versus 44%. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that's the biggest thing that I've noticed was how efficient our third down conversion was, especially compared to last year. I feel like that was a pretty common thing. But other than that, though, I'd probably say the last thing, though, was it was really nice to see how, you know, they were sharing the ball with the wide receivers. Listen, you know, you always want to see one guy always just absolutely take off. But we had three guys who took off together. Mike Evans, Jalen McMillan, and Chris Godwin all racking up about 50-plus yards each. They're all gathering about 5-plus receptions. I mean, I'll tell you this. It's actually really nice to know that Mike Evans knows when he needs to take a break and all that. I don't know if it's exactly just up to him. But knowing that he has backup, knowing he has guys who can kind of help him out, a.k.a. McMillan, Godwin, Palmer, et cetera, it's nice to know that, you know, we have a, you know, diverse group of weapons. And to end it all, I mean, yeah, we got to give a shout-out to our offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, for, you know, putting all the work in together to make this team succeed.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I couldn't have said any of that better myself. Third down conversions, huge. That's always a big part of why a team wins or why a team loses. And their success on third down certainly contributed to the victory. And yeah, I definitely love the idea that Evans can come off the field and the Bucs are okay. You know, Chris Godwin and Jalen McMillan can hold it down, and then Trey Palmer can fill in. So yeah, that's huge, especially, you know, and Mike Evans isn't falling off or anything, but he's not a young man anymore. You know, he's in his 30s. He needs a little bit of time off, as don't we all. So, you know, he can't be out there every play. And, you know, it's wonderful to see that they have some options to kind of give Mike Evans some time off his feet if he needs it. And, you know, also save him from himself. I'm sure Mike Evans, with his competitive drive, wants to be out there every play. But, hey, man, like, let's chill out. We need you the whole season. So I'm sure that's what the coaching staff is telling him. But one thing that, you know, the Bucs can kind of work on a little bit moving forward, Jalen Daniels ran all over them. I think he ran for almost 90 yards by himself. I think he was the leading rusher for the entire game. Yeah. That's not great, but it also speaks to the Bucs doing a nice job of shutting down the passing game for the Commanders. So that's encouraging. But at the same time, you know, they're going to be playing the Ravens and the Eagles this season, which those are only two games, so not necessarily huge concerns. But, you know, they got to win those games. They got to go out and play Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts, which isn't going to be easy regardless, because those are two great quarterbacks. But did Daniel's success kind of make you concerned moving forward, especially for those games? Mr. Treek, I'll start with you, my man. What were your thoughts on Daniel's kind of running all over the field?
I mean, yeah, it was mad concerning indeed. I mean, the guy, 16 carries for 88 yards. And yeah. I mean, you know, the thing that, you know, really got to us was that it kind of just kept on, you know, people like him just exhaust our defense because, yeah, his receiver core is you know what I'm saying? The rest of the team is really nothing special, but he was still able to get those first downs, you know, keep the ball rolling. But, I mean, you know, they're very – for them, it was kind of just very up and down. But I guess it should just open our eyes more than anything that a rookie quarterback was able to kind of toy around with us this much. I feel like we should be a little bit more prepared. But, you know, every team has different strategies as well. So, I don't know. I feel like we were a little too aggressive sometimes, you know, with the blitzes as well. And that kind of got to us. You know, if we're going to be doing that, then, you know, we also got to think about our DB room. You know, it's not like our DB room is always going to have our back. And especially throughout this whole game, you know, we had dudes who were banged up. So it's a concern, but, you know, we'll see how it goes on, you know, with the rest of the games.
Yeah, it was a bit odd for me that Bowles didn't necessarily seem to have an answer for it. You know, they didn't necessarily seem to have a game plan set in place for a guy that just ran all over college football last year. It's not exactly a secret that this guy's a dual threat, super athletic. So it was a bit concerning, like you said, especially since, you know, Bowles loves the exotic blitz packages and all that stuff. And they just did a horrible job containing, like, the edges were just wide open. He could pretty much just find holes anywhere to run through. So it was tough to watch for sure. Mr. Blaine, how about you? Maybe you're a little bit less concerned, although you seem like more of a glass half empty type of guy.
Lately I am, man, and it's disappointing, but I got to do what I got to do. No, I mean, I'm more concerned. I think you nailed it on the head. I'm more concerned of the fact that Bowles didn't have an answer for it, knowing that this guy just had, what, 1,300 yards rushing last season in college football. Yeah. And I know it's college football, but he played in the SEC. Like, it's one of the best conferences, as much as I hate to admit it. So you look at that, and the fact that he didn't have an answer for it is a little worrying. I'm not worried about the Eagles as much as I am the Ravens, because Daniels plays more of a Lamar Jackson role, like, athleticism-wise. Hurts is just like a sneaky athletic guy where you know that Jackson and Daniels are fast and you know that they're going to try to run the ball. And I'm just not as worried about Philly in general. So it didn't do anything for me for the Philly game. But for the Baltimore game, it doesn't get my hopes up very high for a surprise win there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens, one of the best teams in the NFL. That was going to be a tough game regardless. Many teams have tried to game plan and tried to figure out how to stop Lamar Jackson or slow him down, and they have been unsuccessful. If we had the answers, we wouldn't be sitting here. We'd be hired by an NFL team. So, you know, I don't know that the Bucs are going to be successful against the Ravens regardless. But, yeah, it certainly wasn't a great sign. It was definitely a little bit concerning. And speaking of concerning, they also got some tough injury news. Antoine Winfield Jr. out for a couple of weeks at least. Bryce Hall done for the year, unfortunately. It was a very brief cameo for him. He suffered a leg injury, a lower body injury, and it's tough. Zion McCollum was a non-contact participant today. He's dealing with a concussion that knocked him out of the game this past week. So, you know, kind of already getting into trouble with the secondary. There's not a whole lot of depth there. That was a huge area of concern for the Bucs. I think from our perspective going into this season, their answer was bringing back Keenan Isaac. I don't know if y'all think that's enough. To me, it's kind of a temporary measure. They're probably hoping that Zion McCollum is not out this week. That speaks to maybe Zion McCollum being healthier than we are expecting. But what do y'all think? I know, Zach, you're a huge proponent of bringing in, you know, some veterans or bringing in some new guys. Apparently they brought in some guys for tryouts, but none of them worked out as well as Keenan Isaac. So what are your thoughts on the secondary moving forward with all these injuries?
I mean, we carried 11 defensive backs for this exact reason, and we lost almost half of them in this game. The familiarity with the system is nice with Isaac. I'm on board for bringing him back. He is not an answer at the position, I don't think. He's got potential, but I don't see it being like, he's our breakout star this year. So I would like to see them bring in an outside guy. I know Patrick Peterson's old, but bring him in for one season. There's other guys, Xavier Howard. Like, there are people out there that I think should be brought in, and I'm just not confident. I feel like if it were one of those big names, we brought in four other corners. It would have been, we brought in Howard, we brought in Peterson. So it feels like we brought in some guys that weren't big names, maybe weren't people that have produced. And then we were like, you know, let's just bring back Isaac, who just got cut by Carolina, who got routed by the Saints. So, like, they cut him. How promising of a player can he be? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. You know, the Panthers did just waive him. That's the reason that he was available, unfortunately. But I do find it kind of interesting. Maybe they're reaching out to these veteran guys and explaining that they're committed to Zion McCollum as being a starter, and maybe these veteran guys aren't interested in being a backup at this point. I don't know the specifics of that, of course. This is all pure speculation. So I don't claim to have any inside info, but that's kind of an interesting storyline or thought process to think about when we're talking about these cornerbacks. Cause yeah, I mean, Patrick Peterson would be nice. He would be a solid backup. You know, he would be really, really fun to bring in, a veteran presence, a guy who's done a lot of great things at the NFL level. But you know, maybe he's not interested in being a mentor. Maybe he's kind of still fighting the good fight, still thinking, oh, I'm a starter in this league. I'm going to wait for the right opportunity, you know? So I don't know. It's certainly a thought process to explore. I don't think if Zion McCollum sustains a longer injury, which obviously hopeful he's able to return safely and everything, but if he sustains a longer-term injury, yeah, I don't think Keenan Isaac is a long-term solution. But
and then you got to look at it, too, as in, like, I understand – sorry, I got the hiccups. I understand bringing in these guys that have been here, but every one of, like, our starting defensive players have dealt with injuries. Our starting defensive backs, let me rephrase that. They've all had injury history in the past and have not played a fully healthy season. Oh, my goodness. So it seems like, why not at least bring one in as a backup, like, plan? Like, he might not be a starter week two for us, but you know he's probably going to start eventually down the road. So why not?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And perhaps that could be a selling point for the Bucks with these veteran guys. But Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? Maybe you're kind of more in the middle between me and Zach, or maybe you're kind of more, you know, banging the table like, hey, bring in Patrick Peterson. What are your thoughts on the secondary room moving forward?
Honestly, I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm an expert on the secondary, but I mean, we need all the help we can get. So, I mean, am I, you know, all – you know, happy with sunshine and rainbows with Keenan Isaac? No. Okay. I think getting Keenan Isaac is like, you know, putting a wound that's the size of a fist. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a very temporary, like, kind of solution or something. Listen, as long as he gets the job done, all right, I think that's all that really matters. I think I feel like, you know, he should know his role, which is just to kind of, you know, hold down the fort while our starters are out. Yeah, I mean, familiarity and chemistry help, but, I mean, I don't know how much that's going to help when you're going against other opponents and stuff like that. I mean, you're going against teams that have a whole different game plan. You know what I'm saying? You know, how are you going to know every single week the game plan? Yeah, you'll know how your teammates are supposed to work it out and communicate, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, every single team's different. And, I mean, who knows? Another guy goes down and now you're, you know, guarding the star receiver of some other team and it's Keenan Isaac, so, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, no, I mean, listen, I wish him all the best, but we'll see what he can do. But as Zach said, I mean, you know, there's four guys we tried out. Those didn't work, and now we're getting Keenan Isaac back. It just
– how bad do those workouts have to be?
I feel like we're kind of – this is kind of like we're kind of down bad. You know what I'm saying? This is – yeah.
Well, yeah. in the comments, Christopher Cole just said Funderburk is going to be good. So I want to know kind of your guys' take on Funderburk. What are your thoughts on him, like, potentially being an answer?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure. I'm too familiar with Mr. Funderburk. I know he was dealing with an injury this previous week, right? He was kind of a little
– He's been dealing with an injury the last two preseason games and – I believe he was inactive for this game because of that injury.
Yeah. So, I mean, clearly they think very highly of him if they've kept him around through that injury, which is, you know, that's great. That's good news. That means that they see something that they like, which, like Christopher is explaining, that hopefully means he's going to be pretty good. The Bucks love those undrafted corners. They had some success with Christian Eizian last year, who filled in at the outside cornerback role. Obviously not ideal moving forward. Hopefully he doesn't have to do that again throughout the year, but it was very valiant of him. He did a great, he did a fine job given the circumstances. So yeah, I'm pretty excited to see if Funderburk gets some time, get some action, if he can stay healthy or get healthy rather. But Mr. Treek, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on Funderburk and him potentially getting some playing time?
Oh, the mute button.
Oh, my God. The mute one got to me as well. Man,
he's
got to
get to Zach.
Amongst us. Yeah, Zach, you're next. But no, I don't, you know, I don't know too much about Funderburk. I mean, he's a rookie, so, you know, we'll see what he's capable of doing. I mean, yeah, he should get his opportunities, you know, whenever he's kind of 100% ready. But I mean, I'll just leave it at that, though. I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys that we're going to learn a lot about.
That's my fear with Funderburk, though, is we're already dealing with an injury, and that's kind of what we're our whole defensive back room is based off of, is, well, someone's going to go down, like, who's going to cover for him? Well, if everyone's down, no one's going to be able to cover for him. So
yeah,
it would be nice to go a season where we have a guy where, like, oh, he's going to play all 17 games and he's going to stay healthy. And I just, there's not a defensive player or a defensive back in our DB room where I'm like, we got him all season.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I'm excited to learn more about Tyke Smith, though. Speaking of players stepping in with Winfield going down, obviously much rather have Antoine Winfield Jr., but Tyke Smith, it's, you know, it's kind of put up or shut up time for him. Obviously, he's still very young. I don't know how much he's going to be starting in that safety role versus some of the other options that they have. I know Tavier Thomas.
Him or Ian, right? Oh, or Thomas. Yeah, I forgot Thomas is a safety now.
Yeah, he kind of moves around. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited to see how that plays out, or if they maybe go by a committee approach with the safety position. You know, maybe that alters the way they game plan because they don't have – Antoine Winfield Jr., they don't have the best safety and one of the best safeties in football. So that'll be another interesting storyline to monitor, other than obviously the outside cornerback position with Zion McCollum being potentially out with that concussion. But we've been kind of negative these past two topics, so let's finish things off with this first half of the episode with a positive. You know, we'll focus on the player of the game. We'll start on the defensive side of the ball, and we are going with Servassier Dennis. I know it's kind of a surprise, but the defense didn't have a whole lot of standout performances across the board. But Dennis did a really, really nice job. Mr. Blaine, what were your thoughts on Dennis's opening day performances?
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive to see. And then the bigger thing for me was how effective he was with not as much playing time as other linebackers. Like, he was effective. And he got his first sack. Like, it was just everything that he did, I was impressed with in this game. And I think that he's earned more playing time, in my opinion. Like, no one else really wowed me on our defensive side. So, obviously, David's our number one. But I think Dennis is making a case to be a solid number two.
Yeah, absolutely. Dennis is really, really solid. I know Britt is kind of the incumbent. I'd be interested to see if the Bucks maybe try Dennis out. Or Britt, either one of those guys out as sort of a hybrid safety role to sort of supplement the Whitehead combination instead of maybe going the traditional safety route.
That just got me a little excited.
Yeah, I got you. Your ears perked up at that one. Yeah, it could be something that they could explore. I mean, it's the Bucks, you know, they're always going to explore every option available. But Mr. Tariq, how about you, my man? What were your thoughts on Servassier Dennis's first game?
Oh, Servassier Dennis came through big time. I mean, yeah, I mean, as a first game, racked up a sack, tackle for loss, just what we needed. I find him to be honest, a little bit more kind of like faster and better in coverage than KJ Britt, if you ask me. I don't have too much to back that up, but I mean, that's just the kind of vibe I got just from one game, though. And I don't know, I feel like that's going to be really key, especially this upcoming game. I feel like, you know, I think he has a very kind of special role, or he can provide a special role for our team. So I'm really excited. Really, really happy with what I saw. And yeah, you were right, Carter. We didn't see too much on the defensive side, but I want to give a shout out. I think we did pretty good on the you know, locking down the receivers. It was just that run game that was just really embarrassing.
Yeah, the ability of Jaden Daniels to run around was tough. So we'll see how that goes moving forward. Yeah, Dennis was really impressive. And on the offensive side of the ball, it was Baker Mayfield doing his thing. He was doing a really great job, you know, manning the ship sort of. And he was really impressive. Baker Mayfield was putting up some great stats. He was putting up some nice passes to the various wide receivers. And Zach Blaine, you're the president of the Baker Mayfield fan club. So what were your thoughts on Baker's performance in this first game?
And there it is. The mute bug bit us all.
We knew it was going to hit everybody. Oh, damn it. Honestly, he came in and showed us why he got that extension. I'm speaking very highly, but I am also trying to remember we played the Commanders. they're not a great team. He just played very, very good. What, he had four touchdowns, like 289 yards or something like that. So it was just all around an impressive showing, in my opinion. And what about you, Musab? What do you think?
Yeah, I think Baker is a real deal. I really like what I saw. I feel like he's finally really found his home. I mean, the guy, yeah, racked up four touchdowns. Could have been five if McMillan caught that catch in the first quarter, yeah. But it's all good. I think this guy is definitely worth the hype. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why everyone was riding the whole Falcons train with Kirk Cousins. What did Kirk Cousins do this weekend? He threw one touchdown, two interceptions. Crap. This guy's raking in $100 million for what? Nothing. And they have Michael Penix about to take his spot. So, no, Baker's our guy. And I'll tell you this, the most important thing, he's a dog. You know, there were a lot of times throughout the game where he was really close to getting tackled. He's really good at scrambling, getting away with it. I believe it was the second quarter, right as he was about to get sacked, that little sidearm throw. Yep. It's just those, you know, so small little things that, you know, I don't think I would see from a lot of other quarterbacks, okay? So, you know, those things really do stand out. And I don't know, you know, to summarize it all, I feel like the chemistry is really built up. He's also kind of like those very gritty people. And I'll tell you that, one last thing was there was one or two plays where he could have just slid like most quarterbacks do, but he didn't really truck the guy either, but he just didn't go down immediately. The guy kind of had to wrestle him down or something. So, you know, that, you know, those things kind of hype you up because you're like, okay, well, this guy wants to fight. You know what I'm saying? So shout out Baker.
I saw something the other day I was watching. I think it was yesterday, and it was one of the sports things that I follow on TikTok, and they were like, Where would this Cleveland Browns team be with Baker instead of Deshaun? And they're all like, well, they'd be a top four team in the NFL. And I'm like, okay, so then why are we not putting Tampa up there with them? Like, knowing that Tampa's got better offensive weapons, in my opinion, but outside of the running back position, because Nick Chubb is a stud when he's in. We've got better offensive position players, and it's just if he's so good – like, this is only a Cleveland thing. Like, Cleveland's going to take Baker Mayfield, get rid of him, and then Baker's going to become better than Deshaun Watson. It just – it really sucks for Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, it's – I don't know what else they would have expected with that. There's a lot to say there. But we'll just say that Baker Mayfield's a buck, and we're real happy about it, aren't we? He's been doing great. He's been fantastic, and that's all there is to say. Baker, Offensive Player of the Week. He did a great job in that opening game. Facilitating, he was a real playmaker. You know, he was a real playmaker, and he just did a really, really great job. But if you want to do a great job, if you want to add some – kind of versatile, kind of Baker Mayfield type pieces to your wardrobe, definitely check out the shop.rblrsports.com site. Apologies for that horrible transition, but we've got some really great gear up there. Definitely not going to apologize for that. So definitely check it out. We've got a lot of different themes and a lot of, you know, Tampa Bay sports memorabilia. Some stuff to kind of just make you have a little bit more swag, you know, get that Baker Mayfield attitude, you know, when you're putting your stuff on. So definitely check it out. We'll give you a promo code just to celebrate the Bucks' first victory. That's Cannons, Cannons. You type it in, 10% off your entire order. All right, so this second half of the episode, we're going to talk about the Lions game because, my goodness, the Commanders are not the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are a really, really good football team. And speaking of that, we'll start with the quarterback position because, you know, everyone loves to start there. Jared Goff, he is not Jaden Daniels in all the good ways and all the bad ways. He is not nearly as mobile, but he's also, I'd say, probably maybe a little bit more comfortable in the pocket. So how do you slow him down? How do you make him uncomfortable? Mr. Boyne, I'll start with you, my man. How do you slow down this Lions offense?
It's going to be a task. I mean, we're going to have to send pressure. And unfortunately, that's kind of what Antoine Winfield does best. So having him out is going to make it a little more difficult to dial up some of the blitzes that we normally can disguise behind him. But we just got to contain – really, we got to contain Amon-Ra and J-Mo and Laporta. So there's a lot, man. This team's got weapons, and Jared Goff is like the Baker Mayfield before Baker Mayfield was a reclamation project. Like, it was Jared Goff who was doing the same thing. So it's a strange game to watch, and it's gonna be hard to slow him down. I'll be honest.
Yeah, and you did you mention Sam Laporta? I'm sorry, I kind of
yes, I did. Yeah,
I'm sorry, I zoned out there.
And Amon-Ra, and that's just the pass game. I mean, you got two stud running backs back there too. So it's,
yeah. Yeah. It's not fun. He's definitely like game manager souped up. Like, he's a great, great game manager. And it's had such a negative connotation. And I hate that because the whole point of playing the quarterback position is managing the game. Like, if you're good at that, Tom Brady won 7 Super Bowls being an elite game manager. So I think there's a negative connotation behind it, but Jared Goff is quite good at that. Because he's got talent around him and they do a great job. I think if the Bucs can get him a little bit off schedule, you know, like Zach said, apply some pressure, I think that'll kind of do a nice job of throwing him off his rhythm, throw him off his game. But, you know, as we all saw last year with the playoff performance, it's easier said than done, lot easier said than done.
But last year's playoff performance made me realize that it's possible.
That's true. It was a closer game than I think we all expected. It was very down to the wire. The Bucs did not look out of their element, which is very encouraging. Mr. Treek, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on slowing down this high-powered Detroit Lions offense?
Yeah, this one's going to be a much tougher battle than the Commanders for sure. I mean, where do I start? I mean, we have a depleted defensive back room. So, I mean, I feel like maybe we should focus more on that pass rush. But we got to, you know, when I say focus on the pass rush, we really got to kind of come up with some strategies or something. Or we got to tell these young guys that they got to change it up a little bit. I'm looking for some more kind of stunts and twists, or maybe, you know, changing up the defensive schemes, or, you know, knowing when to blitz and when not to blitz. I mean, you're not going to hit it every single time, but those kind of things. Because more than anything, we're going to have to shake up Jared Goff and, you know, while our guys are doing their best to, you know, cover his receivers, you know, we're going to have to try to shake up that room. The good part is, he doesn't have wheels like Daniels. So, you know, if we run a couple plays, you know, the way we kind of pressurized Daniels and he got away with it because of his speed, maybe we can kind of try that again. And, you know, hopefully maybe he can work out with Jared Goff. But I got to say, we got to control the clock as well. And what I mean by that, I mean, we just can't let him keep on getting opportunities and exhausting our defense, because I feel like that's what a lot of our good opponents have done in the past, especially this last season. Our defense gets exhausted, and hell, that's what happened in the Rams as well. Look what happened in overtime. I mean, David Montgomery just ran over those guys. You could even see I saw Dan Campbell's face actually when they won the toss or something. He knew that David Montgomery is about to just take off. You know, he was real happy he got that possession. So those are the kind of things. I mean, listen, as you said as well, Carter, it's easier said than done. You know, fingers crossed, we just, you know, try to shake up the, you know, the quarterback room, or just try to shake up anything we can, because who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, speaking of that, I know you mentioned a little bit the depleted secondary dealing with those Lions playmakers, and they've got plenty of them. But obviously the big two are Laporta and St. Brown, which kind of freaks you out more in the context of specifically looking at the Bucs. Because in my mind, it's definitely interesting, because I think of all the teams that are, you know, sort of equipped to stop this Lions offense, I think the Bucs might sneakily be kind of nice. You know, they've got like Isian and Tavier Thomas. Their slot cornerback room is kind of interesting. They can get a lot of fresh guys in there so that they, you know, they can kind of slow down Amon-Ra. And then Levante David covering Sam Laporta. I mean, that's fantastic. But yeah, obviously Winfield Jr., that loss has kind of hurt. So fully healthy, I think the Bucs would be really interesting going up against this offense. But all that to ask, who freaks you out more, Mr. Tariq, Laporta or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Oh man, this one's actually tough. And I only say this because I say Amon-Ra had a really bad game last week.
He did.
Guy was locked up. Three receptions for 13 yards.
Not good.
And you know, I don't want to just put it all on him. Of course, the Rams defense really stepped it up. So, you know, one side of me thinks that, yeah, he's due for a game that's at least solid. You know what I'm saying? Especially against a DB room like ours. You know what I'm saying? Then on the other hand, you got Sam Laporte. I mean, the guy's listed as a tight end, but, I mean, he could easily be a wide receiver. And unfortunately, what kind of makes him stand out compared to other guys is that kind of size and agility. But thankfully, you know, we got dudes like Levante Dave, and then, you know, I'm hoping maybe Servasia Dennis can also step up and help him out as well, kind of, you know, containing that, you know, space that Laporta would occupy. But I'm gonna have to go Amon-Ra Brown, St. Brown, just because I feel like with the depleted DB room and the fact that he was locked up, I mean, I was shocked when I had read that. And I actually read a little Lions article. I think Dan Campbell was like, yeah, that's embarrassing. We're definitely gonna try to get him more reps for sure. So, you know, they're gonna do whatever they can to try to get him more reps, and we're gonna do whatever we can with you know, our guys to try to lock him down. And I guess we'll just close our eyes and hope for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Amon-Ra, definitely. I like the fact that you mentioned, you know, him being locked up last week because he had a rough week. So not only just the motivation factor, but just from kind of a big picture perspective, there's going to be a regression back to his true talent level because that does not accurately reflect who he is as a player, that one game. So he's bound to kind of come back this week two game and have a really, really solid game because that's who he is. You know, he's a great receiver. So yeah, definitely a worthy mention right there. But Mr. Blaine, how about you? Maybe you're more freaked out by Sam Laporta, or you kind of freaked out by Amon-Ra St. Brown?
I mean, I'm freaked out by all of them, but if I'm being honest with you, my biggest fear is neither one of them. It's Jameson Williams. And I say that because Amon-Ra, I don't think, from what I've watched, and like, I know it sounds cheesy, but playing all the Maddens and stuff, like, he's not that fast. Like, he's quick, but he's not a 4.240. You know what I mean? Whereas Jameson Williams, that is what he's known for, is being one of the fastest people on the field. And I don't think that we have the corner depth to – or not necessarily the depth, but the corner talent to keep up with that speed. So that's my biggest fear. And if I'm not mistaken, he had a huge catch on us in the playoff game as well. So I'm just – he scares me, I think, the most.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, Williams is certainly worthy of mention. He's tough, you know. They don't seem to be super comfortable using him yet. Maybe he's primed for a year three breakout, you know, in his third season. That's the hope for the Lions, obviously. But, yeah, he's definitely a name to monitor, especially because, you know, he's going to have Jamel Dean or Zion McCollum. That's not ideal. I don't know that either of them – I don't know if anyone is athletically equipped to keep up with him. But, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see how the Lions incorporate him into the offense, not only in the Bucs game, but moving forward throughout their season. I think that's a huge storyline for sure, because he's been a disappointment so far. You know, he was a round one pick, and he has not produced that level.
He was, if I'm not mistaken, he was injured his rookie year.
Yeah, and he got suspended last year. Right.
He's been a disappointment, but I don't think it's lack of ability. I think it's lack of availability.
For sure. But, you know, sometimes that's the best ability, you know, availability. But no, I do feel you. It's going to be interesting to see if he can manage to stay healthy and manage to, you know, stay off FanDuel, if he can actually put together a quality season or not. Speaking of matchups, I know we were talking about Jamel Dean versus Jameson Williams or Zion McCollum versus him. What are some kind of key matchups that you're looking at? Mr. Blaine, I'll start with you, man. In this Lions-Bucks game, is there any individual or maybe position group matchups that you're looking at as being kind of a big key for this game's outcome?
I think it's got to be our front seven against against Detroit's O-line. And, like, the ability of us to get pressure on Goff and the ability of us to slow down the run game. I don't think there's going to be stopping Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery, but slowing it down is more promising in my mind. So I think that's going to be the biggest difference maker in this game is our ability to get pressure slash run stops.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that's a great point. Getting the stopping the run is going to be huge because it gets them off script. You know, Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, complete mastermind. He's going to be a head coach next year somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, he stayed in Detroit. I'm sure he was highly courted, highly sought after by many NFL teams, but he was content to stay in Detroit, unfortunately, for the Bucs because now they have to deal with this offense. So, if they can get them into, you know, second and long, third and long situations, that's just harder to draw plays up for, regardless of how good your team is or how great of a play caller you have. So, yeah, getting them off schedule sort of, not only with Jared Goff, you know, going through his progressions, but also just from a play calling perspective, having to kind of go deeper into the bag as opposed to just like, oh, we gained 4 or 5 yards. We gained 3 or 4 yards on first down. This is, you know, going according to schedule. So, yeah, that's going to be huge for sure. But Mr. Tree, how about you, man? What's a big matchup you're looking at for this week's game?
I was going to say the same thing as Zach. I was going to say, yeah, their offensive line versus our defensive line. And I'll tell you why, because no Kancy, no Logan Hall. All right. Ernest Brown is on IR. So now you have CJ Brewer, Mike Green stepping up. All right. And let me tell you something. Vita Vea and Greg Gaines, this last weekend, they played a lot of snaps. Okay. Shout out to Greg Allman again. Vita Vea, 59% of snaps. Greg Gaines, 61%. So they got a lot of their reps in. I would have been fine with our D-line going against the Commanders with what we have, you know, going against the Commanders, but this is going to be different. You know what I'm saying? This game is going to, you know, this game should give us an idea as to where we actually stand in the NFC. You know what I'm saying? So, the Lions got a much stronger, you know, rush game compared to the Commanders. And that's what I'm worried about the most. Because, listen, guys, we're not going to talk about the elephant in the room, which is our DB room. Okay, we've already talked all about that this whole episode. So I think we already know what's going to happen or, you know, fingers crossed, we hope it doesn't. But this D-line can really make a difference. You know, Carter, we talked about, I think, last episode or two episodes ago, you know, if our D-line does well, then it's okay for our DBs, you know, kind of have a bad game. But if our DBs have a bad game, then – or if our DBs do well, then it's okay if our D-line, you know, screws up. So I'll tell you this. Yeah. I don't think our DB room is looking pretty. And I just hope that they at least do a mediocre job. But I need the D-line to step it up. You know, I'm hoping we can see what Mike Green and CJ Brewer and the rest of these guys – our edge rushers, Vita Vea and Greg Gaines, what they're capable of doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, and on the flip side, I think that Aiden Hutchinson versus either Tristan Wirfs or Luke Gadecki or a little bit of both, that's going to be really cool. I think that's going to be a really fun thing to watch throughout the game because, you know, Aiden Hutchinson's great, but so are Tristan Wirfs and Luke Gadecki even. So I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup as well, but definitely some worthy mentions there from y'all. So now we'll get to a segment that we did a lot last year and we're bringing back for this season, over-unders. I'll start us off this year. Yeah, that's right. I'll kick things off this year and I'll go with, this is, I guess it's technically the Lions, but over under 300 passing yards from the Lions. So Jared Goff, 300 passing yards. I'm going to take the over on this. I think Jared Goff has a big game. I know the quarterbacks in the NFL, that was kind of the big story this past week. None of them played very well, other than Baker Mayfield, of course, and Sam Darnold for some reason. So that's kind of the big story of last week. But I think that Jared Goff is going to have a pretty big game. He's going to take advantage of the mismatches, the Bucs' inability to get after the quarterback and really cover the receivers. You know, they're just going to have a rough time. So, I'm going to take the over on that. But Musab, what are your thoughts? You got the over, the under on 300 passing yards allowed by the Bucs.
I'm going to go under. I think if the Lions do succeed, I feel like it's also going to be due to their run game and not only just good on point. Golf. I'm going to go under. I think he will be close maybe to hitting it, but he could also, you know, be a lot under it. But I'm going to have to lean under on that.
All right, solid, solid. I like it. I like it. How about you, Mr. Blaine? I know you're probably going to hammer that over because you.
I'm thinking well over 300.
Well over.
No, I'm not thinking to throw for 450 yards, but I wouldn't be shocked to see 360 to 380.
Wow.
I'm telling you, that's how low I am on this on the, our defensive back room, and they've this team has weapons. And
I'm gonna have to write that down.
Right. Yeah, I was about to say we're gonna have to follow up on this if this doesn't happen.
I hope it's wrong. I hope that I'm wrong, but that's where my brain goes when I think about this Lions offense.
Wow. Okay. So 360 to 380. Let's mark that down, Mr.
Mark it down.
I'm marking it. Yeah.
Remember that.
Yep. It's interesting because I mean I know that Jared Goff had a really nice season last year, and he did throw for 4,500 yards, which is a really quality season. But, you know, that's not quite 300 yards a game, so that wasn't super common. But then again, he wasn't playing the Bucs every game. So, you know, that's that'll be something interesting to watch for sure. So, if they give up like 200 yards, we're gonna be on you. We're going to be on you.
I hope they give up 200 yards. I hope that that's it. I hope that I'm dead wrong, and I will be so happy on here next week talking about how wrong I was.
For sure. No,
this defensive back room is they're hurting, man.
That is true. They are banged up, and they weren't great to begin with. All right. So now we'll go to our second of the three over-unders. I'm going to give out – let's see. Do I give this one second or third? Order doesn't really matter. Rashad White, over-under, all-purpose yards, 90. I'm going to go over. I think that he gets, like, maybe 30 or 40 rushing yards, maybe 40 or 50 receiving yards. So I'm gonna hit the over on this. I think he gets over 90 all-purpose yards. He hit 100 last week, which, you know, not super uncommon for Rashad White because he does great jobs on both sides of that coin. Mr. Blaine, you're a known Rashad White hater. So what do you think? Over under 100 over 190?
Rashad White hater. I think he goes over 100 all-purpose yards, but I also think he averages 3 yards a carry again. Like, I don't care if he gets 100 yards total. He's not a wide receiver. He's a receiving back, and the fact that we have him as our number one guy and we talk him up is just crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I view it as like, you know, he's a running back, but he's a playmaker. You know, he's not really necessarily a position here or there. And the running game can come in the screen game. It can come through like motion, little touch passes and that stuff. So, you know, there's different ways to get your – the main goal is to get your playmakers the ball in open space. And I think that they do that a great job with that with Rashad White. So I'm going to go with the over on the 90 as well. Like I mentioned, and I'm excited to see what he can do against this Lions defense, but Musab, how about you, man? Are you going to, be the lone guy that goes under on 90 all purpose yards?
No, I'm actually pretty high on this running back room. I don't think that they're amazing or something, but I'm pretty excited to see what they're capable of doing. And Carter, as you mentioned, that play action, with Rashad White, I'm looking forward to that because another key player was my favorite center, Mr. Graham Barton,
who was a game changer.
And you know what? I'll tell you this. I'm honestly looking forward to seeing that happen, you know, a couple more times this season, if not a lot, you know. So,
absolutely.
I'm going over on this.
Yeah, I think that the screen game is just such a huge part of what the Bucs can do offensively. They seem to have a really, really good knack for it, for whatever reason. And I Liam Cohen seems to have a really nice grasp on how to do those kind of things. So I'm pretty excited for that. All right. So the next one is going to be, I guess you could kind of consider this a prop bet, I guess, but Chris Godwin, does he get a touchdown? Like, I guess you could say the over under is 0.5, but so does Chris Godwin get a receiving touchdown again this week? Mr. Treek, I'll throw it right back at you. What are your thoughts on this?
I think so, but I never bet any of those anytime touchdown unless it's Christian McCaffrey last year because I think he had like 24 sure. consecutive games with a touchdown.
Yeah, so ridiculous. Yeah,
it's definitely possible, but if I had to, I'm gonna go under. I mean, we have other guys who can get that touchdown. I think he can be a big key player in this game, but I don't know. I feel like maybe Mike Evans is more of our red zone kind of guy. If anything, I'll probably say Mike Evans, but no, I can't. I'm gonna go under on this.
Yeah, I'm also going to go under. I think McMillan and Evans might sprinkle in a touchdown or two there. I'm hoping Otten does, because unfortunately he's my starter in one of my fantasy leagues because David Njoku is out, which really stinks. But, you know, that's the cards you get dealt sometimes. I'm going to go under on it as well. I think the Bucs are going to do a great job throughout the year of spreading the ball around, you know, giving it to their various playmakers. But, Zach, you're a known anti-Chris Godwin guy, so I guess you're going to go under. But maybe he surprises. Maybe hit the over.
Nope, I'm taking the under.
Yeah, all right.
Fair enough. Used his really good game too early this season, man.
He's one really good game.
No, I have been a known Chris Godwin non-believer, but I also am going to stick to my guns on this one. I don't think he gets a touchdown this game. I think with this defense, it's going to be, like you had mentioned, McMillan and Evans, and I'm calling a Bucky Irving first time touchdown this week. So
hey, that would be wonderful. I would love that.
Yeah,
I think we can all say Bucky Irving anytime touchdown. Yes, that's going to be an RBLR consensus right there. That'd be really exciting. But we're nearing the end of our episode, so we're going to have to go with our predictions because, you know, over-unders are nice, but it's all about wins, baby, you know. So we got to give our little predictions. And, Zach, I'll start with you, ever the optimist. What do you think the final score is, and who do you think wins this Lions-Bucks matchup?
This one's hard, man. My heart tells me Tampa's going to win, but realistically, I think it's going to be like 28-17 Detroit.
28-17 Detroit. All right. I'm also going to take Detroit 31-28, though. I think it's a little bit of a high-scoring affair, but I think they keep it close. But I think the Lions manage to sneak away with a home victory. They're just a really good team, and it's not a reflection on the Bucks for the rest of the year. This isn't me saying, oh, the Bucks are horrible. This is just me saying that going on the road against a defending division champion is really hard, especially against the Detroit Lions. They're a really good football team, and it's just going to be tough to come out of there with a victory. So I think they keep it close, but yeah, 31-28 is going to be my ultimate prediction. Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? Who you got winning, and what's the final score?
Yeah, I had to do a little bit of thinking. I might change it, but I'm just going to stick with it now. I'm going 24-20 Lions. I think I'm hoping, you know, we do keep it close and we put up a good fight. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions do run away with it, to be honest. But I think we definitely have potential, and I think we're definitely capable of keeping it close if we, you know, play our cards right. But as you say, easier said than done. And it's going to be hard. Hey, listen, it's going to be hard. So I think the biggest thing is just to see, can we put up a fight against a really good team, you know, with our, you know, depleted offense, or actually not offense, depleted defense, you know, can we survive at least? So yeah, 24-20.
Yeah, and I do think that the Bucks' high-flying offense from last week sort of carries over a little bit into this week. So that's good. You know, I think that'll be fun to watch, and that's really encouraging because if the Bucks can have, you know, an above-average offense, a top-10 offense, which I think that they will by the end of the year, then, man, the defense can be a bit rough. You know, they can kind of make up for some defensive deficiencies. So yeah, that'll be really interesting to watch as well. But we're coming towards the end of our episode. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. And as always, hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you heard. But as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.